If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, the sermon title is Don't Give Up. Everybody say, don't give up. And let me just read it to you. Start with Joshua chapter 6. And I want to start with verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You shall go around the city once. Then you shall do this. You shall do 6 days. The seven priests shall bear seven trumpets and ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times." Who's God talking to? Come on, somebody else. Come on, somebody. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to Israel. Well, he is, but specifically, God is talking to Joshua. God is communicating to Joshua. The seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, then you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets and ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was that Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now, verse 10, now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner on that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, and the Lord had given you the city." Wow. Now, you know what happened. Guess what happened? The walls came tumbling down. I want to talk to you shortly tonight about three things that cause people to give up. And it's very clear in this text, but I want to make it clear. The first thing that people do is we lose our perspective. Our perspective gets blocked. Look at verse 1. You see it right there. Look what the Bible says. And Jericho was securely shut up. It was shut. It wasn't a very large city, but it was secured and it was shut. So what happens is, let me tell you why we lose perspective. We lose perspective because we see things different than what God says. And so what we do, and we'll look at it in a minute, is we get deceived by looking at what we see. Listen, don't let your eyes deceive you. They will cause you to give up. They'll cause you not to believe. They'll cause you not to trust. They'll cause you all kinds of pain. They'll cause you never to fulfill what God's called you to do. Who cares what you see? I mean, understand your positioning. Understand what your purpose here is on this earth. Your purpose here on this earth is to change things that you see. I mean, what are we here for? Are we here to just sit there and go, oh, it is what it is. 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 You know what? It is what it is if you say that, but it doesn't have to stay what it is. You are called to act like God. That's what the Bible says. It says, be an imitator of God. What does God do? God calls the things that are not as though they were. God is look at Jesus. That's what he did. You know what Jesus did? He walked around doing good. What was he doing? He was changing things. That's what he did. He saw people that are hungry and with no food, and he blessed the little bit and multiplied it, and now everybody got all you can eat. Amen. Plus over. You know what? People are in, you know what, his disciples are in the ship. You know what? The waves are crashing in the ship. You know what? And he goes up and he says, peace be still. People who can't see changes their life. People who can't walk changes their life. People who can't hear changes their life. Jesus was a change agent. But what will stop you from being that light is if you get to focus on what you see. What you see is just an opportunity for you to change it. Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how Jesus acted. Hello, somebody here tonight. See, you've got to see it, and what happens is your perspective will influence you to say, well, that's how it is. Well, that's how it is, but that's not how it has to continue to be. That's not how your marriage has to continue. That's not how your health has to continue. That's not how your finances have to continue. And there are portions of your life or aspects of your life. You know, as I talked about in my last example, I said, you know what, that's not how your finances have to be. And as I said that, I sensed resistance. Hello, somebody. So I need to stop here and teach on this for a little bit. How many would like to be able to fill up somebody's gas tank with gas? How many would like to buy somebody a new pair of shoes? Amen. How many would like to, you know what, pay for somebody else's rent? How many would like to, you know what, buy somebody else a meatball sandwich? See, well, let me tell you what. You can't do that. You can't pay somebody else's rent if you can't pay your own rent. Hello? All I'm saying is, watch this, because there is so much, you know what, there is so much pushback in the body of Christ theologically against this. And I'm just telling you, they're wrong. They're wrong. God wants you to be able. God is here. Jesus promised to take care of us. I mean, egads, how much more simple can we, why in the world would we fight that Jesus has promised to take care of us? Why would we fight that? It doesn't even make any sense. Except we're listening to the wrong people teach something out of context. I'm not talking about greed. But how many know some people say, well, I just want enough for me. How many know that's greedy? I don't want just enough for me. I want enough for me and my kids and my, you know what the Bible says? That I should have enough for my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. The Bible says that's what's godly. Amen? Somebody say amen to this. Amen? You know, we ought to be expecting more in every area in our life. Amen? Well, if we had 300 people, you know, we got over 300 people in this church. Way more than 300 people in this church. And if we were able, if we are people, because I know you're generous enough. I said, I know you're generous enough. But you know what? If we had 300 people and you're, oh, Pastor, you're trying to be manipulative. I'm not trying to be manipulative. Oh, my goodness. Does somebody know me? I'm not trying to be manipulative. I'm just trying to teach somebody something. If we had 300 people who could write a check for $1,000, you'd be hearing ping, 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 ping right now. Well, maybe right not now, but if you came today. What's ping, ping, ping? Ping, ping, ping is somebody hammering a big steel beam, which is what we're going to have to put. All we need, that's all we need. We got nothing stopping us. We'd be at it right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what do we need? We need to be able to, that might be something that you have learned in your past that no, you, that's wrong to believe for that. No. Believe that you would have all your bills paid and that you would completely get out of debt and you'd be able to you know, that wouldn't it be nice if we had whatever the math is, you know what, 30 people who could write a check for $10,000. Amen? And well, what would we do with all the rest of the money? I don't know, figure out how to build a bigger sanctuary or something. Amen? Or maybe give some more money to the Whittier Pregnancy Clinic. Amen? Right? Right? Hallelujah. So, but what is that? It's a barrier that stops you. And you've seen it for you know what? You never had $10,000 in your bank account. You've never had $10,000 in your bank account. Well, you know what? Start pushing that envelope. See, what is it? I got one amen. Thank you. You know what it is? It's our perspective that it blocks us. See, if oh my goodness. Praise God. Are you learning something tonight? See, the people of the Israelites, when they were originally going to go into the promised land, you know what stopped the people from going to the promised land? Their perspective. They saw a bunch of guys, and they say, yeah, the grapes were big, man. They even brought back the fruit. The fruit was unbelievable. But when they saw, when they looked, when they spied out the land, they saw some guys. You ever see those guys? They're walking like this. Why don't you put your arms down? I got my arms down. Because they, you know what? They got, you know, they're too muscular. They can't do that. Amen. Right? And that's what they saw. They saw all these guys. Hey, you know what? God don't sweat a bunch of guys that walk like this. Amen. God could just go and just blow them all down. He's God Almighty. And God says, 10, you know what? You know what stopped the Israelites? 10 people. 10 people. Listen to me, somebody. You be careful putting yourself under. And you know what they all were? They were all leaders. Yeah, they were all leaders. He picked 10 leaders to go out and spy the land. Listen to me. You be careful putting yourself under a leader who has no vision. You be careful putting yourself under a leader who says that you have to be in balance. And balance means you have to balance belief with a bunch of unbelief. Don't call unbelief wisdom. Unbelief is not wisdom. Unbelief is foolishness. Be careful that you put yourself under any leadership that isn't a visionary, who allows things that they see to declare that means it can't change. No, everything can change. Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
And so they are convinced by 10 people who can't see it. Not what God said. They know what God said, but they saw something. And they said, and they went back, oh, we can't do this, they're so big. And they started spreading their junk.
Yeah.
Reason I say be careful, you know what, be careful who you're listening to.
That's right.
Because the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And a very short period of time, they were all crying. A million Israelites crying in their tents. And Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, what are you talking about? God is on our side. Let's take this. Let's do it right now. But they didn't listen to them. And after they kept on accusing God, finally God said, fine, you won't go into the promised land. I have to give it to your kids. I don't want to be that way. I mean, I want my kids to be blessed, but I want to go into the promised land. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 8. Remember when Jesus says, you know what, to that fig tree, be cursed. He goes to get the fruit. There's no fruit. Curses it. When they come up, see, here's the deal. What you see can mess you up from what you hear. Listen to God and don't make any difference what you see. See, God said, I'm going to curse that. He said, nobody will eat of that tree anymore. That's it. Well, when they come 3 or 4 days later or 2 days later, I forget what it was, they're like, whoa, master, the tree, man, look at that. And Jesus says this, have faith in God. You know what Jesus is saying? He's like, why didn't you believe me? See, your perception will mess you up. Your perception will mess you up. Look at Joshua chapter 2. I mean, chapter 6. But look at verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, See? I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king and its mighty men of valor. See, it's closed, but I want you to see it like you want it. And look at how Jesus, look how God says this. See, look it. I have given Jericho. Dude, it's already yours. Remember we talked Sunday about God doing it not as a chapter, but like a laid out, all laid out. God sees the beginning from the end. He looks at it and knows that they're going to be victorious, but he's got to get the leader to know that they're victorious. So he says, see, I want you to see it like that. That already happened. All you got to do is walk it out. Number one, you know what? Our perspective sometimes blocks us. Number two, our progress isn't always obvious. Oh, this is good. Our progress isn't always obvious. Look at verse 3 and 4. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Now, let's go on. And the priest shall bear 7 trumpets and ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. Here's what I want to know. You get up and you go around the city just like God told you to do. And then what do? You look up and go, nothing's happened. Right? So then what do you do the next day? You get up and you go around the city, and you look up and go, man, these walls look as strong as they did when we first got here. And you do it the 3rd day and the 4th day and the 5th day and the 6th day. See, here's what I'm saying. You know what caused you to stop? When you're doing something and you don't see the progress. Is that right? You go, man, this ain't working, Pastor. Well, you just keep on doing it. Sister. You just keep on doing it, brother. You just don't stop. Because, see, just because you can't see it happening doesn't mean it's not happening.
There's no neutrons. There's no protons.
You know what? Listen, this thought of your reliance on your eyes and your senses, how you feel. We live in such a feely. I don't feel. Oh my goodness. Who cares how you feel? Just be obedient to what I'm in. Say that. Who cares how I feel? Man, that needs to be said. Because we have got so caught up with how we feel. Well, I don't feel like sleeping in today. I don't feel like going to work today. You know what? I feel like you're mad at me. I feel like you're mad at me. Oh, my goodness. And what it does is it just causes you to stop because you don't see the progress. And you don't need to see the progress. Not if God said do it. See, put your trust in God. Just believe in Him. Amen. Put your trust in God. Believe in Him. He can't lie. Remember when those waves were coming on the boat? Think about this. When Jesus says, peace be still, he doesn't go to Peter and go, Peter, I'm sorry, man. I was sleeping, man. I dogged you, man. I was sleeping in your... He didn't do that. He got in his face. He got in all those apostles' face and said, guys, what is your problem? I'm paraphrasing. But there was a problem there, and he was going to address it. You know what the problem was? The problem was Jesus earlier said, we're going to the other side. See, when God says something, Don't allow the seemingly lack of progress to change your dependency on him and your faithfulness to him. Having done all to stand, just stand. You know what? In that portion of scripture, you know what the Bible says? Excuse me. He points out that Jesus sweat blood. You ever been so much under so much tension that you sweated blood? It's a physiological reality. And he's sweating blood. But I tell you what he's not going to do. He's not going to back off his obedience to the heavenly Father. He ain't going to do it. And we get discouraged because we're praying for our kids and 3 weeks later they're not back on course. And 4 months later they're not back on course. And 5 years later they're not back on course. Listen, you just keep on praying, Mama. You just keep on praying, Daddy. You just keep on praying, Grandpa. You know what? We begin to tithe and we allow the pressure to cause us to pull back. Don't grow weary doing good. Guys, I'm not trying to get on anybody. If you understand the tithe doesn't belong to you. Don't touch it. Bring it in quickly. Amen. Get it gone. Amen. It's part of worship. It is part of worship. It is so awesome. Yeah, you just keep on putting the bread on the water. Put the bread on the water. Put the bread on the water. Put the bread on the water. You'll see a day that just keeps on coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in, coming in. You know, Tamara's girlfriend, when we were dating, you know what she said? I'll tell you what, I don't know what's with Drew, but that guy is the luckiest guy I've ever seen. What's she describing? She's describing, okay, that's good. She's describing, you know what, a covenant that I had with God. And she didn't know how else to declare it except I was lucky. Well, I was blessed. You know what I was blessed? I was blessed that one day on the radio was a pastor who got in my face. Now, you know, he got in your face? No, he was actually preaching to his congregation, but had recorded it, and I was listening to it, and the Holy Spirit used him mightily. Because up to that time, I thought that I was a tither. How many know, man, I tell you what, we deceive ourselves good time. You know why I thought I was a tither? Because my dad was a tither. I wasn't a tither. I was a stealer. And you know what this guy called me? This pastor called me? He said, you know what comes down to it? You are just stingy. You are just stingy. Stingy. Wow, that should a pastor call you stingy? Oh, praise God, he called me stingy. Because the Holy Spirit used that. And it was that day that I decided, you know what? That, you know what, my father couldn't make me a tither. That I had to be a tither. And it changed my life forever. I mean, one word, if you obey, it will change your life forever. And I started, and from that day. And I haven't stopped since. I haven't stopped since. And when Tamara had a good job, and she lost her job, and she had to start working at Burlington Coat Factory, for $7 an hour. She had a way better job than that. She had to, you know what, work at Burlington Coat Factory for $7 an hour. What'd you do? We just kept on tithing, amen. We just kept on being faithful to what God had called us to do. And thank God. You know what? What am I saying? I'm saying that that what is critical is that, listen, that you not allow circumstance to dictate what you do. That you make a decision because you say you perceive things aren't happening. Remember the guy, and he spits on the ground, makes a mud pie, puts it on the guy's eyes. You know this, that story, he tells the guy to go down and wash 7 times. I'm thinking, okay, well, how many know the mud probably came off the first time? Right? Probably. But I'm thinking, at what time it went? When did he see? When did he see? I don't know. How come you don't know, Pastor? Because the Bible doesn't tell us. Listen to me. Listen, good hermeneutics. Only say what the Bible says it says. Don't make up, you know what I mean? I mean, you could say what you think. I think it was the third time. You know, okay, well, you could say that, but at least say, I think. Pastor, when do you think it is? This is deep. I don't know, and it don't make no difference. It really doesn't make any difference. Here's what I'm saying. How many know it could have happened the 7th time? And you think. See, let's pretend it happened the 7th time. 1, 2, 3, and you think, nothing's happening. I can't see. How do you know nothing's happening? For all you know, that creative miracle, every time he's doing something a little bit more and 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 a little bit more. So how come he didn't just do it once? Oh, well, let's do this. Let's make you God and we'll just you do it. See, I don't know. But here's what I know, that man did it 7 times and that man saw. Here's what I'm saying. Stop thinking. Stop allowing what you perceive as no progression to stop you. I'll tell you what, I'm fed up with my husband. Because you have no idea what's going on in your spouse. Are you learning something? You got time for one more point? Thank you. My last point is this. The third way that we get stopped is the process is open-ended. I always say the process is open-ended. Now, I didn't know this, you know what, till I learned it recently. But Joshua knew that on the 7th day that was going to happen. Right? Who else knew in the 7th, besides God? Who else knew in the 7th day that that was going to happen? Who else knew? Yeah, you answered right. Read it. Joshua didn't tell anybody the 7th day. Here's what he told them. I want you to go out and march around. So they march around. When they're done, here's what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. Look it up. When they're done marching, they went home. Well, they went back to the camp. Huh. That was weird. Nothing happened, man. We just marched around, man. You know what? And the next day, you know what they did? They marched around. And then when they were done, you know what happened? They went back to the camp again. Here's the thing. They didn't know that the 7th day was going to be the 7th day. Because Joshua didn't tell them that. Mr. Pastor, how come he didn't tell him that? Here, this is deep, right? Here. I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I do know. That let's say you're believing for your marriage and you continue to walk in love. How many know the Bible says love never fails? How many know you continue to bring the tithe into the storehouse? You continue to You continue to walk in forgiveness. You continue to be kind. You can continue, and there's this push. How many know God likes to push you out of your comfort zone? You know what that's called? It's called growth. Don't resist his push. I don't know who this is for. Stop resisting his push. So he's pushing you, and you're not resisting. And wow, your marriage is restored. It's like your marriage gets better than even before you were dating. It's like, wow, God. You don't stop. You continue to tithe. You continue to give with a happy, hilarious heart. And boom, you see major breakthroughs. All of a sudden, you're like, wow, I've never had savings anymore. I'm completely out of, wow. Okay, here's my question. Those things have happened. You think you don't got another five other things to work on? You understand what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying. Guys, sometimes we think, I remember in this church, we had a major problem because the leaders in the church didn't act like leaders. They were very immature. They were baby Christians. And I got to correct them. Whoopee! You know what I mean? This is fun. But I taught them. And some of them got so mad at me that they left. But here's my point. I remember after the major battle, and I thought, I'm never going to fight this battle again. And about 4 years later, you know what? Something else came up. And I thought, whoa. I thought, it blew me away. Because here's what I thought. I thought, once I had fought that fight, I thought it was done. Hello? Here's all I'm saying. Sometimes we get discouraged because that's what we think. We think it's done. And then when there's another battle, look at Jericho. They whip on Jericho. And guess what they get? Now guess what they got? They go to Ai. Remember this? And Achan was, you know what, not obedient in finances. And they got another problem on their hand. See, here's what I'm saying. Your relationship with God, until you die, there's always going to be opportunities you have to walk in victory. And there's always going to be challenges. Remember, Paul says, when I was a child, I behaved as a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Can I tell you what? We've got to put away the childishness of thinking that, you know what, one battle is one battle. The same God that whipped up on Jericho could whip up on all the other nations that were out there. See, here's what I'm saying. Guys, don't be freaked out because you had one victory and you're like, oh, now there's another one. I like David's mentality. God was with me with the bear. God was with me with the lion. See, the same God that can whip the lion and whip again the bear can whip the the giant, Goliath. Exactly. All I'm saying is you have to recognize that. You know what? God has been victorious in the past. Don't start freaking out because now you have a new battle. Welcome to life. Come on. I can tell this is a stretch for some who are like, oh, I like point one and point two. I don't like point three. Well, come on. We got to man up on this. We don't have anything to, you know what, are you kidding me? And what God has showed me, you know what, I'll give you an example. When we were trying to raise $10,000 for Hope Park, and it was like $10,000, ooh, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? And then we did it. And your daughter used to bless me. She said, man, we got this. We got this. And it just spoke to my spirit. And then when we had to raise 120, which ended up being like $160,000. How are you going to do that? I don't know, but we did it with God and with you being putting your trust in God. You know what? Most of the money didn't come from outside sources. Almost all of it came from here. But I tell you what, this is a testimony of your trust in God. And every single person that gets saved in here, every person who gets healed in here, every person who gets ministered to, all the praise and worship. Listen, you got skin in the game for all of it if you did what God asked you to do. Amen. Amen. Cameron, I got some skin in the game. That was more bread out there on the water. Amen. All I'm saying is, and now, God is asking us, you know, to raise $300,000. I don't know. What is God going to ask us to do after that? See, I don't want to stop. I don't want to rest. I don't want to retire. I want to fight. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you better get working because there's only a little bit of time. There will be nighttime, and when nighttime comes, you can't work anymore. Amen. Come on, we don't got time to retire. Amen. We got it. We got to be busy. So love this last point too. Amen. Because you know what? I remember when we first started, when we first got here, and we were raising money, and we went to businesses, and I tell you what, it was so exciting. Listen, living by faith is an exciting life. You know, listen, I worked for Albertsons for years. You know what? But I tell you what, as fun as Albertsons was, that ain't nothing compared to this. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, Pastor, listen, no. We're all in this together, amen? It don't make any difference if you're apartment manager or secretary or, you know, work for a, it don't make any difference. We're in this together, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're gonna whip up on this next enemy, and then we'll whip up on the next one. And every time we'll just, you know what? We'll just get happy.
Amen.
We'll just smile and say, you know what? What my dad taught me. You know what? The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Did somebody learn something tonight?
Yeah.
Is somebody encouraged tonight?
Yeah.
I said, is somebody encouraged tonight?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and your peace and your comfort. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing, not only in the South Sanctuary tonight, but in the North Sanctuary, Father, in the kids' rooms, in the nursery, in the preschool. We thank you for every single age. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.